All right, brethren. Psalm 86. We read here, this is a prayer of David. And we're just going to look at the first seven verses tonight. But in these seven verses, David makes four petitions. He makes four petitions for blessings that only God can give. And to each of these requests, he attaches a for or a because. There's a reason attached to each of these. First of all, he asks to be heard. And really, it is for the action is to be granted the petition. He says, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy." And then secondly, he asks to be preserved. He says, "Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee." Then he asks to receive mercy. "Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily." And then he asks to be given joy in the soul. He says, "Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me." See that last phrase? "Thou wilt answer me." That's why he says, "I'll call upon thee in the day of trouble, for thou wilt answer me." So that's our subject, is the prayer God will answer. The prayer God will answer. All who come to God through faith in Christ with the spirit that David has right here, this same spirit making these petitions right here, God will answer. God will answer. This is prayer God will answer right here. First of all, David asked to be heard. And he's not just merely asking to be heard, but he's asking for God to act. He's asking for God to supply the need. He says here in verse 1, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy." Bow down thine ear, O Lord, and hear me. Act on my behalf. Who is God? Who is our God? Who is the Lord God? Psalm 115:3, "Our God is in the heavens." Our God is in the heavens. "He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." He's holy. Our God is holy. Our God can have nothing to do with sinners. Can have nothing to do with sinners. He's holy. He's the creator. He's the ruler of heaven and earth. He controls all things in heaven and earth and all deep places. He's the all-powerful, almighty, holy God. Psalm 8:3, he said, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him." We're talking about God. We're talking about holy God. And yet there are some who holy God will bow down and hear. Notice the reason David gives. This is who God will hear. It's those who come to God in this spirit right here. He says, "Bow down thy ear, O Lord, hear me, because I am poor and needy." When we hear poor and needy, sometimes we think about money and temporal things and what have you. But there's a lot of people who are poor in money and poor in temporal things that aren't poor and needy as David is here. Poor and needy is to be poor and needy in spirit. Is to be broken and contrite in spirit. You've been here, you've been to this place where you just beg God to bow down and hear you. This is a good reason to ask, for I am poor and needy. The poor and needy is somebody who is absolutely dependent on the Lord for everything. Totally dependent on Him. And this is not for stuff. This is not for temporal blessings. God will give us some temporal blessings, and we're thankful for that. But this is being poor and needy for spiritual blessings. God will provide all things for His people, but the need, the real need, the need spiritual. The poor and needy need more than temporal things. This spirit here is a spirit of utter dependence for God to give everything. For God to provide all. To be utterly poor and utterly needy for God to do all the blessing. For God to provide everything. Christ was perfect in spirit. When you read this psalm, we could read this psalm and just hear Christ praying as He walked this earth to the Father. Christ was perfect in spirit when He walked this earth. In the Beatitudes, when we read the Beatitudes, Christ is the perfection of those graces of the Spirit. He is those graces. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." The Son of God was rich. He had everything. But He became poor, that we through His poverty might be made rich. And when He came down and took flesh, He walked this earth utterly dependent on the Father. He was perfectly poor in spirit. Exactly what this means. He was poor in spirit. Here, His is the kingdom of heaven to give to whomsoever He will. He had not where to lay His head. That's true. He was poor in temporal things, but He did that willingly. That was on purpose. But He came down and made Himself the servant of God, totally dependent upon the Father, so that He might be the author and the finisher of our faith. What does that mean, really? It means He's the only one God looks to. He walked as the perfect believer before God. He authored and finished faith for His people. He is the faithful one. That's what this thing of being poor and needy is about. It's being utterly faith, just going out in faith to God, trusting God to provide everything you need. And that's how Christ walked through this earth in perfection. And it's from His faith, that it's the faith of Him by which we're justified from our sins and saved through His blood. And it's from Him, the faithful, giving us faith and giving and sustaining that faith and keeping us coming to Him, poor and needy. Saying, "Oh, Lord, would You bow down? Would you bow down to me? Just this poor and needy sinner, and hear me." You know, that wouldn't be a petition that most people would think would be a good reason to make to God, that you're poor and needy, but that's what God delights in. those that are utterly dependent on Him. He's poor. Christ was poor in spirit. He's the one to whom the kingdom belongs. He's the blessed one who mourned. He's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Robbie just read it. He mourned over the sin of those He saw. Even those that rejected Him. He stood over Jerusalem and said, I would have gathered you. And He's the one that comforts His mourning people. He's the one who was perfectly meek in spirit. Perfectly meek in spirit. And all His teaching and all His dealing with even those that rejected Him. He depended on the Father. He looked to the Father. In Psalm 69, he prayed to God, and we hear his dependence and faith toward the Father. He said, I am poor and sorrowful. That's what Christ said, Psalm 69:29. He said, I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. And the reason I'm pointing this out is because when born again, when the Spirit of Christ entered into David, this is in a little semblance of what our Lord was in perfection, David had in the new man. A spirit to see he was poor and needy. Totally dependent upon God to provide. The Spirit makes us know this. He makes us know we're sinners. We're poor and we're needy. And only God can provide. Only God can give what we need. We're made poor and needy for Christ to give us all spiritual blessings. They're all in His hand to give to His people. But He only gives them to those that come to Him poor. That means everything's got to come from Him. Needy. He alone can provide the need. All spiritual blessings. God the Father heard Christ when He prayed, and for Christ's sake, He will hear the poor and needy. He's put that Spirit in His people. Our Lord said in Isaiah 66:2, to this man will I look, saith the Lord, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. He said in Psalm 72:12, he shall deliver the needy when he crieth. That's not somebody that comes, you know, puffed up and has something that they can contribute. Needy. Needing God to provide all. That's the only reason you really cry to Him. The poor also, and him that hath no helper. That's who we're talking about. He can't help himself, and no other sinner can help him. The only one that can help him is Christ. He that hath no helper, he shall spare the poor and needy, and he shall save the souls of the needy. See, we're talking about the soul. We're talking about spiritual blessings. He said over in Isaiah 41:17, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst. What's he talking about? When you're thirsting for the living God, like the deer pants after the water brooks, when you're thirsting for God, I mean thirsting from God. Not we're trying to have our way, and not we're trying to work things out ourselves, and not we're trying to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and make ourselves acceptable to God. When you are dying of thirst because you have no water and you can produce no water. When you cry to Him from a desperate need. He said, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I'll open rivers in high places. We cry for God to bow down and to hear us. We cry for God to act on our behalf, to provide all the blessings we need. Sometimes we don't even know what blessings we do need. We need Him. We need Him. So that was the first petition. Lord, hear me. Bow down and hear me. I'm poor and needy. Here's the second thing he asked for God. to preserve and save his soul. He said in verse 2, "Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee." Preserve my soul. More than just the body. We're not talking about here just providing for the body. We're talking about the soul. We're talking about the inner man. We're talking about the soul. Protect me. Guard me. Preserve me. Save my soul that I might live with thee forever, God. That I might be accepted of thee. God shall do this. The Hebrew right here, it's the equivalent in Greek is what Paul prayed when he said he was confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will preserve his people. And he'll keep you. He said, "The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." He will keep the soul of his people. And those poor and needy, those that know themselves to be defenseless, those that know themselves to be entirely dependent upon God to preserve and save our soul, that's what we cry for. Lord, preserve and save my soul. What's the basis of David's petition for God to preserve his soul? His petition for God to hear him was, "Lord, I'm poor and needy. I need you to provide everything." What's his petition here for God to preserve his soul? "For I am holy." For I am holy. Is David pleading his own holiness for God to hear him because he's holy? The margin says, "For I'm one thou favorest. I'm one thou hast sanctified. I'm one thou hast set apart by thy grace in Christ." He's not basing his petition on something he had done for God or any fruit he bore. That wouldn't be poor and needy. That wouldn't be humble and contrite. You know, Christ, the scripture tells us, Christ created all things for himself, for his glory. Everything that's made, in some way, it glorifies Christ. If we could just see it. Have you ever noticed the more fruit a vine bears, or the more fruit a tree bears, the more it bends over? The more fruit it bears, the more it needs something outside of itself to hold it up. The more David saw his need of Christ by God's sanctifying grace, the more he saw his need of Christ, he had fruit. Do you know what the fruit was? Lowliness. Fruit's lowliness. To his own self, he was poor and needy and dependent upon God to preserve him and save his soul. He saw his need for God more. So David based this petition on what God had done for him. "Preserve my soul, for I'm one you set apart, Lord." Basing this on God's word and on God's promise and on what God had done. "I'm one you set apart, God, one you set apart for yourself in Christ before this world was made, one you chose by your free grace, sanctified by your free grace. Of God are you in Christ Jesus." If we come to God saying what the Pharisee said, "Lord, I thank thee, I'm not like him. I do this, I do that, I do the other," that would be boasting in some holiness in us. He's coming here petitioning God on what God has done. "God, you put me in Christ. You made me holy by your electing grace. You preserve me, Lord, because Christ has perfected me forever by his one offering. I don't have any other hope but that." Lord, you've made me holy by the blood of your own Son. Of God is he made unto a sanctification. He made me a partaker of his holiness and a partaker of his divine nature. Created, you came in spirit, Lord, and put a new spirit in me, a new man in me, holy by Christ dwelling in me to make me look away from me to him who is my holiness and not to anything in me. This is one sanctified by God's grace in Christ Jesus. If he didn't need God to preserve him, if he was stronger and stronger and stronger, he wouldn't be saying, Lord, preserve me. If this is one that's made holy, oh God, preserve me, save me, because of your sanctifying grace, because you made me to trust you to do so. Oh thou, my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. I need you to do the saving. I need you to preserve me. For those that God sanctified to see that Christ is our holiness. Here's the greatest word you'll have from him. Fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord. Neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee. I will save thee. I'll preserve you. That's our only hope, what he's done for us. David cries for God's mercy. He says here in verse 3, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Be merciful unto me, O Lord. Because I cry unto thee daily. David says, in my cast down state, in my miserable state, in my weak and lowly condition. What was the problem? He's a picture of Christ here. Because at the end, he's surrounded by proud men who don't have God set before him that are trying to kill him. And nobody can save him. And he says, Lord, in my cast down, miserable, weak, lowly condition, make me the object of your mercy. Make me the object of your pity. Make me the object of your compassion. David's suffering. And he keeps praying, oh Lord, oh God, oh Jehovah. Don't we pray that way? You ever prayed that way? Where you just, oh Lord, please help me. Please, oh Lord. It's called groanings that can't be uttered. David's penning this and he's writing this so it can be sung. But when David prayed like this, you can just imagine there'd be lots of spaces in this psalm where he just, oh Lord, and no words. His heart just crying out to God. But Christ made this petition in perfection. And our groanings come up to God through Christ, our intercessor. They come up in perfection. Christ said in Psalm 41:9, to show you this is all a picture of Christ, he said, yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me, and raise me up that I may requite them. And God heard him. God raised him up. And now he's living there as the intercessor who justified his people, who's the advocate with the Father, who's a propitiation for our sin, who's making intercession for his people. Wherefore he's able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He does. What did David base this petition on? He said, for I cry unto thee daily. One, it's on the fact he cried to God alone. I cry unto thee. I cry unto thee. He glorified God. In each of these, you see, he makes a petition and then he praises God. Lord, I need you to bow down and hear me because I'm poor and needy. That's glorifying to God. Only you, God, can hear and fulfill this petition. Lord, I need you to preserve my soul because your name is attached to me. You've made me holy. This is your work, Lord. I need you to save my soul. And here he says, Lord, I cry unto thee daily. You're the one that can be merciful. You're the only one that can be merciful to me and save me. He was importunate. He cried to God daily, constantly, without ceasing. I cry unto thee daily. You know, when the Lord calls you and you begin to pray, really pray, you know, you always think of Saul of Tarsus, and he had said a lot of prayers, and you hear people, they say a prayer for me, and he said a lot of prayers. But whenever the Lord revealed himself in him, the Lord said, behold, he prayeth. He really started crying to God. And you really start crying to God. And it's sad. We do cry to him daily. I think all God's people cry to the Lord daily. But we don't pray perfectly. We don't pray as we ought. We're cold a lot of times, and sometimes we just do say prayers. Our Lord's perfect intercessor. But he will bring his child into trouble. And he will cause you to cry to him. Keep crying to him. Keep crying to him. Keep crying to him. And let me ask you a question. Is there any better place you could be than crying to him and crying to him and crying to him? Christ gave the parable of that one who kept knocking, went to the neighbor and kept knocking and needed some bread, kept knocking. He said, because of his importunity, he will arise and give him as much as he needs. And Christ said, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Here's something else he based this on. I think we need to put verse 5 with this. For thou, Lord, art good. Lord, God, be merciful, for thou, Lord, art good. It's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. It's the goodness of God that puts prayer into our heart and makes us see we're poor and needy. Makes us see we need God to preserve us. Makes us see we need God to be merciful to us. He has to put that prayer in our heart. We can't pray that to God. We can say be merciful, but I mean really, really be a vessel who needs God's mercy. Goodness of God does that. And it's the goodness of God that makes his child behold his goodness and be free enough and feel welcome enough to come to him and ask this when you're laden with sin. We cry for God to be merciful. Here's the petition. For thou, Lord, art ready to forgive. Oh, God, be merciful. See how he's praising God? He's basing all this on what God's able to do. He's the needy one. When we pray, we're the ones that need. We're basing everything on what God's able to do and what he's willing to do. God, be merciful to me because you're ready to forgive. Somebody said, God's more ready to forgive than we are to ask Him for forgiveness. And He forgives readily. David said in Psalm 32:5, I believe that was when he was one who had gone and asked the bread, and all the priests had been killed because of him. And he said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. He's ready. If you come to Him, He's ready to forgive. David cried for God to be merciful, for thou, Lord, verse 5, art plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. That means rich in mercy, abundant in mercy. Unto all them that call on Him, all them that come saying, I'm poor, I'm needy. Lord, I need You to preserve me. You're the Holy One. I need You to sanctify. I need You to preserve me and hedge me about and keep me protected. Be my refuge. Lord, I need You to be merciful. You're the one that's rich in mercy. You know, when you confess your need to God for mercy, you're saying you don't deserve any of this mercy from God. Nothing. But when you call on Him, and your heart breaking, and you, He's the only one you can call, and the only one you want to call on. He's the only one you know that can help you. And He brings you to cry out like Micah did, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage. He retaineth not His anger forever. Because He delighteth in mercy. And then lastly, David cries for joy. Cries for joy. Verse 4. Rejoice the soul of thy servant. Rejoice the soul of thy servant. This life is just, it's trouble. It's sadness, it's sorrow, it's one trouble after another. It's going to be that way to the end. After his sin with Bathsheba and after he murdered Uriah, David cried to God after he had made all this petition to God, as just like he's making right here. He cried to God and he said, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. The bones you've broken. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Why did Christ lay down His life? Why did He come and take the place of His people on that cross and bear the sin of His people and the wrath of God, the fierceness of God's anger? Why did He do that? He did it to make His people the righteousness of God in Him, and declare God the Savior in the process, that He's just and the Savior of His people. But He did make His people the righteousness of God in Him. Not just righteousness, the righteousness of God in Him. What's going to rejoice the bones God's broken? You could have... We're not talking about God mending everything temporally for you. We're not talking about God fixing everything in your life and in your job and none of that. We're not talking about that may be left untouched. What's going to rejoice you in your soul? Christ came to redeem His people, to come to His people, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. Not them that just mourn because you stumped your toe, or mourn because your car got damaged. Them that mourn what they are. What they are before God. He came to give unto them beauty in the place of ashes. He came to give the oil of joy to replace the mourning, the weeping. He came to give the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, so that you might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might get all the glory. That's the joy we're talking about. Him coming, He said, "I, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem." When you see, what is it He makes you see? He makes you see that was you on the cross. He makes you see that was you. He really took your place on the cross. And He makes you see what horrific offense you and your sin is to God by beholding it on Christ. That's the only way. And beholding Christ putting it away. And beholding Him come out of that grave and you go with Him to glory and sit down at His right hand. And He says, and when you see this by faith, your heart shall rejoice. That's rejoicing nothing else can put in you. Your heart shall rejoice. Your bones shall flourish like an herb. And the hand of the Lord shall be known toward His servants, and His indignation toward His enemies. What's this basis for this? For unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Lord, I can't put joy in my soul. I can't do anything for myself. Lord, I'm committed all to You. Christ gave His soul an offering for sin to make His people righteous. And when He brings you here, He makes you just commit your whole soul to Him. Lord, I'm committing my soul to You to give me this joy. And he prayed this expecting it. Because he should expect it. This is the work of the Lord. This is not just David praying. This is the work of the Lord making him pray. This is true prayer. He said, verse 6, "Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon Thee, because Thou wilt answer." You come poor and needy. You come giving God all the glory for everything He's done. You come needing Him to preserve you, needing Him to save you. You come needing Him to be merciful to you because you don't deserve anything from Him. You come needing Him to be the joy and put the joy in your heart. And I want to tell you something. If we ever really pray, from the first time the Lord says, "Behold, He prayeth," to the last prayer He puts in your heart, that's how His child's coming. When it's of Him and He's put it in your heart to really pray, that's the only way we really pray right there. And here's the good news. God will answer thee. What He's put in the heart to give Him all the glory and His Son all the glory for His Son's sake, for His righteousness' sake, He will answer. He will answer. All right, Brother Greg.